I'm Rodrigo Núñez, and this is el podcast. Neither here, neither there, pero en los dos. Raza, les juro que no podía ni dormir. On Saturday, May 21st, 2022, security cameras at the Amarillo, Texas Zoo captured images of a weird-looking creature walking alongside the fence at 1:25 a.m. And it looks kind of like a thin wolf man, coyote, raggedy, hairy, skinny creature walking upright, but it's way too thin to be a human. And it kind of looks too short to be a human, maybe around like 4 feet tall. It doesn't look like a person, but it looks kind of like a walking coyote dog. Something. It's very, very weird. The city of Amarillo called it a UAO, or Unidentified Amarillo Object, and posted it all across their social networks as a means to get engagement from the residents. But the greater internet got a hold of it, and people started saying it was a chupacabras. And that's what perked my ears up, because few things in this life have traumatized me as much as el chupacabras. It's like el chupacabras, the rapture, and the railroad killer. Those are the top three that ruined my childhood. So, let's take a bit of a dive on today's episode, ¿Qué onda con el chupacabras? ¡Vámonos! So you can't tell my story of el chupacabras without talking about Primer Impacto. For those of you that don't know, Primer Impacto is a Univision entertainment program packaged like a news program, and it's been around since 1994. And up until this day, it's still running strong. It still airs every weekday. They have a special weekend edition of Primer Impacto. It's undoubtedly one of Univision's greatest hits. And it looks like a news show. It has people that look like news anchors. They dress very well. They talk in that news person speak. They have a big desk. They have a theme song that goes in and out of commercials. Primer Impacto even has a weather forecast. But all of the news they report is misinformation. It's all made up, pretty much. I mean, maybe except for the weather, but the weather could be made up too. I haven't really cross-checked with any other forecast. But Primer Impacto is the source of my trauma because back in 1996, they first showed me El Chupacabras.
Los habitantes de una pequeña población al sur de Guatemala están aterrorizados después de descubrir lo que podría ser la primera víctima humana en ese país del chupacabras. Como nos dice César Gaitán desde allá, el mayor temor es que vuelva a atacar.
Todos lo temían, pero nadie se imaginaba cuándo ni dónde iba a suceder. Sin embargo, al parecer este hombre es la primera víctima humana que muere a causa del chupacabras.
This report scared the crap out of me. Are you kidding me? El chupacabras not only exists, but is killing people? I couldn't sleep. It was terrifying for me because el chupacabras was super popular at this time, and kids love to talk about it. Adults love to talk about it. Apparently, it was driving ratings because Primer Impacto kept on talking about el chupacabras. So let's get a little bit into its history. The first sightings of El Chupacabras date back to 1995 in Puerto Rico. And this is where, in this incident, 8 sheep were discovered dead with puncture wounds in the chest. And then a few months later, in August, an eyewitness, Madelina Tolentino, reported seeing a creature in the Puerto Rican town of Canovanas, where as many as 150 farm animals and pets were reportedly killed. Now, the Canovanas chupacabras is this little green alien-looking thing with spines on its backs, and it runs on all fours, and or it kind of jumps on its hind legs whenever it's walking on two, but it's mostly walking on four. It has huge, scary eyes. It's sometimes painted red, but it's mostly painted black because it's usually seen at night. Aided by a sketch that this eyewitness, Madeline Tolentino, produced. She later met up with this UFO researcher in Puerto Rico by the name of Jorge Martin, And they kind of spread the gospel of the Canovanas Chupacabras all throughout the island. And sightings of spiny red-eyed creatures really went wild in the island. And over 200 sightings of El Chupacabras were reported in Puerto Rico. And some people would say that El Chupacabras could float. Some people could say that El Chupacabras was flying on wings. But in 1995 is where I found the first mention of El Chupacabras. And it was a little alien-looking, spiny dude that went on all fours. Not a walking wolfman dog thing. That is the second type of sighting. And that one became more popular later on. And the first really big sighting of this type of chupacabras that I could find was in the year 2000, when a rancher in Nicaragua shot and wounded some animal that was attacking his goats. And then later on, he found the carcass of the animal that he had shot. And there was this hairless, really rangy looking, skinny, canine looking thing. And it was the first time that a body that had been associated with El Chupacabras had been actually recovered. And when this happened in Nicaragua, the sensationalist media got a hold of it, and they claimed that it was a genetic experiment where it was scientists blending wolf and crocodile DNA, and that's what came out of this, and that's what was killing this rancher's ghost. However, the actual scientists got involved on this one, and the National Autonomous University of Nicaragua got a hold of the carcass, did an examination of the anatomy, and it revealed that it was a dog that was stricken with a disease called mange. It was a dog. But this sighting and the sensationalist reported around it gave birth to this second type of chupacabra description, which is that it kind of looks like a wild dog. It's mostly hairless, has a pronounced spinal ridge, usually like pronounced eye sockets, really big fangs and claws. And sometimes it's mentioned to walk on its hind legs and upright. And this chupacabras is said to drain all of the animal's blood, sometimes drain their organs. And it's usually in this like bite mark that has three holes in the shape of a downward pointing triangle. And this dog chupacabras really overtook the alien looking Canovanas one in the early 2000s. And in 2004, 2007, 2009, there were several of these quote unquote chupacabra carcasses that popped up in the central part of Nicaragua. And a lot of them have warty skin and those protruding teeth. And all of them have been subjected to DNA testing by the National Autonomous University of Nicaragua. And all of them have been declared to be the same type of animal. Dogs with mange. That's it. So the first type of chupacabras hasn't really been found. That's that green, spiny-looking alien. But the second type is a dog with mange. So it's a sick dog, a dog with leprosy, so to speak. And yet, Primer Impacto kept reporting on that all the time in the early 90s. And even as late as the late 2000s, they're still reporting on it. In fact, Univision is still up to it because a week after the Amarillo Chupacabra sighting in Univision 26 El Paso, they posted a very similar sighting of some sort of dog, little mini creature walking upright inside somebody's garage in La Union, New Mexico, which is right off El Paso. So it's still happening. And the question is why? Or in other words, ¿qué onda con el chupacabras? Why is it such a staying legend? Why does the myth expand so much? And I mean, the first thing that I can think of is that el chupacabras is the first modern cryptid. And cryptids are, you know, these mythological beings, these animals that don't really exist, and they're held afloat by the people who believe in them almost to a fault. So cryptids are animals like Bigfoot or Yeti or the Loch Ness Monster, because the simple fact is that El Chupacabras, based on what I could find, didn't really exist before the 90s. In that way, Chupacabras is the first modern cryptid, the millennial cryptid, so to speak. And people have been making a living off of cryptids forever. They kind of capture the imagination of people. They kind of point to the fact that we don't know nature, the mysteries of the world as a whole. And they're, you know, romantic in a way. They're definitely enticing. But I think it goes a little bit beyond that. And for that, I kind of have to think about why Primer Impacto exists. I mean, shows get canceled all the time. And Primer Impacto has been around since 1994. That's an incredible record. Primer Impacto frames the world's problems or the things you encounter in a very simple way. And with their misinformation, Primer Impacto provides answers to questions that can't really be answered. A lot of them having to do with inequality, a lot of them having to do with a lack of access to health resources, a lot of them having to do with Latinos who are down on their luck and have a unfortunate station in life. And the Chupacabras and other conspiracies or cryptids or weird quote-unquote misinformation exist because people are not comfortable with mystery. And people are not comfortable with the way things are. So you know that report that I played at the beginning that freaked me out? I'm going to play a little bit more from it, but this is the end of the report. And prior to this, there's this whole part where, you know, there's some apparently police officers saying that they can't be sure who killed it or whatever. But at the very end, the reporter talks to someone who is directly affected by the death of this man, the unfortunate, untimely death, someone who actually has skin in the game, the brother of the man, and this is what he has to say.
La verdad es que yo no creo que él haya sido el Chupacabra. Lo que yo más creo que él lo asaltaron y lo mataron.
Sin embargo, otros opinan que si hay algo raro en la muerte, pues al igual que en los anteriores ataques del Chupacabras, la causa fue difícil de explicar científicamente.
The world is harsh. Tragedies happen. And one can either choose to be escapist or to just face the harsh realities of the world. It's unfair that this man's life was taken in this way. And his brother is accepting that and taking it for what it is. And yet the report goes on to end with the irresponsible statement of there's really no way to know. And that is not being comfortable with the truth. Because the truth is that there is no magical creature that is out there killing men. The truth is that there's crime and there's unfortunate consequences that sometimes result in the death of innocent people. But instead, Primer Impacto and other places that present these types of theories or cryptids or unexplainable phenomena, what they do is that they confront people who are not comfortable dwelling in the harsh reality of life and seek to find a deeper meaning to something. Therefore, you go and you make up a creature and you repeat something that someone else says because it kind of fits your idea that there's got to be something deeper said. And then someone else repeats that and eventually it gets to the point where it's the snake just eating its own tail. Because somebody else said it and somebody else said it, but it really came from a non-viable place. These types of theories lie in a weird place where people want the world to be just as explainable as they can make it. Because the logical, simple explanation is far too simple and far too harsh. And the mystery of something is far too complex. So you got to come up with something that fits in that natural little space where it's weird enough that I can explain it and not really have to go any deeper and be okay with the fact that the world is a harsh and unfair place. Because conspiracy theories divert attention from the inherent limitations and shortfalls of social systems. Primer Impacto spreads lies for ratings, sensationalized news that people know aren't really news, but they can go there and say, yeah, but people are saying that. Further reinforcing the cycle of something being true because people said it on TV, because people said it on TV, therefore creating a tautology that is totally false, but it provides comfort. And eventually, people move on. Because back in the 90s, El Chupacabras dominated news cycles and dominated imaginations. Now, it's a throwaway article on Yahoo.com where a small city in Texas is trying to get social network engagement through this weird creature, and no more than that. However, creating creatures like these and creating stories like these and airing them on national television over almost 40 years now has done unspeakable damage. This animal, weird animal conspiracy theory now doesn't have any staying power, probably because everything else in the world has been framed as a conspiracy now. Primer Impacto was this entertainment program that was framed as a news program, and it outperformed every other news program. So now that's what news programs do. Everyone has a Primer Impacto now that kind of fits the level of complexity and explanation to the way the world is that every audience can seek out and find. In this way, the Chupacabra shows us that the staying power of cryptids and conspiracy theories isn't really in the stories themselves, but in the means of storytelling. It's far more compelling than the truth. And in an age where people are seeking to confirm their prejudices instead of actually seeking information and news, this is the way in which you can get the most attention. And you know, I gotta be honest with you, there's been this whole thing about misinformation being a problem in the world that I never really saw as a problem. And I guess it's because I grew up with it. Every afternoon on TV in my house, there was misinformation being fueled by Mirka de Llanos, right? And Primer Impacto. And I don't know that our communities, Latino communities, are more adept at managing it. But like I said, I don't think the problem is the information, but rather the way we're placing the focus not on telling the truth, but in garnering an audience. And as long as that model still exists, El Chupacabras has shown us that the best way to do it is to just fit in that window, present a solution or present an explanation to a problem that is just complex enough, even if you have to make up a character for it. So where does that leave us? I really don't know. I don't know how to navigate this misinformation thing other than to just call it out for what it is. El Chupacabras es una mamada. And if we can do that, and realize that if I'm agreeing with the news a little too much, or if I'm being entertained by it a little too much, then maybe that's the real problem. Freaking Chupacabras, man, really messed everything up. That's it for this episode of El Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this episode, share it with a friend. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or podchaser.com. And yeah, there's a link. There's a bunch of links in the show notes. You should open those up. That's where you can find our social media links. That's where you can find the Discord link. That's where you can find the store link. That's where you can find the tip jar link. And please feel free to reach out with any ideas. I'm still looking to feature more voices on the show. So yeah, don't be No se chiven. Reach out. I'll talk to you guys later, and ahí nos vemos.
This is the Irrelevant Podcast Network. Thanks for listening.